This is Life School Podcast, episode number 152. And today, we're going to give you a step-by-step process for living a missional life with your family and friends without crushing your already busy schedule.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Welcome to the Life School Podcast, where each week you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith that naturally fits into every area of life. This is the stuff your parents, teachers, and pastors forgot to tell you. I'm Heath Hollinsby, and I'm here with your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Heath, here we are, man. Anniversary episode.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Our 52nd episode, episode 152, first season.
Yeah.
52nd episode. Can't believe it.
Every week for the last 52 weeks.
I wish
weeks.
I had like just cranking things. Like
a Vuvuzela thing, the big horns, you know?
Where's it? Oh, wait. Where's my shofar?
Yeah, if you've got a shofar, go out on your front porch right now and blow one as a celebration sound for what
so
we're doing.
So everybody, I know you have your shofar right there at hand's width. You keep one in the car, your gym bag, spare one. Like, wouldn't it be great right now, just all over the world, people are at the gym and they go, excuse me.
We make CNN because it's like, there's this shofar outbreak.
No, isn't this great though?
Yeah, it's
one
awesome.
1 year, never skipped an episode, not even Christmas, bro.
Yeah.
And man, we've learned a lot together.
It's been a fun journey. And the feedback that we're getting, like you said on last week's episode, we're in over 50 countries. We're seeing people commenting. People are joining the Facebook group from all over the world.
We threw out a fleece. We said, hey, we're at 70 reviews. When we get to 100, okay, and that's not a small percentage of everybody right now who's hearing me say this.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we get to 100 on iTunes, we're going to do a bonus like hour-long episode. We'll go into something juicy like normally we wouldn't touch.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be so fun.
And we'll get after it. So if you've not done it yet, right, take us up on that. Let's just say it's your anniversary gift to us.
Love that.
For bringing the good.
We bring the goods. Now
and
it's
you get
your
on
turn to
iTunes, iTunes, just you know, just hit your thing, log in, you know, find the thing, you leave, click some stars, and just leave a short review. We're not looking for like pages or anything. Just a quick little positive review. It helps encourage everybody else who's checking out podcasts, right? To check out Life School. So.
And you know what? You know, another thing that we don't really ask for too much is if this is really cool, be sure to tell your friends. If you see some posts, you can share the Life School Podcast post on Facebook. If there's a link or maybe your pastor, you hear a message and you're like, I'd love for him to hear this, or a friend that you think.
Gank our logo off the Life School, you know, 123lifeschool.net website and put it on a slide and even share it at your church. Why not? I mean, how many pastors are listening today or head
many.
Of communication? You can say, listen, this is a resource. I mean, you hand out other stuff in your lobby, right?
Yeah.
You hand out daily word and Bibles and all kinds of stuff. So even that, right? That would help the word get out a lot more. And it costs you nothing, and it'll be a super blessing to us and them. Yeah, hey,
absolutely, man. So today on this special anniversary episode, we're going to actually talk about family discipleship and living on mission as a family with others.
Yep, that's right. Exactly. And what we're going to walk through is the very most basic steps for starting to live on mission with discipleship as a lifestyle. And that starts with you in the mirror and with your family. And that's where we're going to start because you can't do something with others, right, that you haven't done before.
Yeah.
And in these things that we're going to share really in way, they preclude starting a missional community.
Yep.
Or being in one. So some people say, well, I'm already in one, but is it healthy and is it reproducing? If not, perhaps it's because some of these steps, these real basic things got skipped and that's not your fault. Okay. But, and this will actually, because this is going to be rich. This will actually take us into our very first ever two-part topic.
Dun, da, da, dun. Dun, da, dun.
So anniversary episode and part one of something, and you're not going to want to miss that second part as well. You'll see why as we get going, okay? So.
Absolutely. These two go hand in hand. Yep. And we have touched, like for those who are like, hey, I've already heard this, we've touched on it a little bit. Back on episode 133, we talked about starting a missional community from scratch. But that was a really quick.
It was a bunch of other stuff. And we said, oh, and here's some basics.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. This week, what we're going to do is we're actually going to really break down those basic steps that will help you move as a family and as a group of friends toward true missional living with discipleship that's built into the normal rhythms of everyday life, right?
Yep. In fact, these are the first and really important steps that everyone would need to embrace and grow, you know, in if they're ever really will have a healthy missional life or community.
Sure. Like
I kind of said that already. So these are the basic primary steps that lead to a more fully realized missional life. So let me start out by telling a little short story here, okay?
Okay.
Because I know even some people are still going like, yeah, I don't even know what a missional community really looks like yet. You know, you guys talk about it a lot, whatever. When I was a missions pastor, worked at a very large church, and I was missions pastor. It was one of my, I had several roles over time, but we travel all over the world doing kinds of things. And I began to feel this tension as I went kind of back and forth from, you know, trips in the field to coming back home. So I'd be out on a trip, and a lot of the stuff I did on missions was a little hairier than some folks would sign up for. God was calling us into war zones and where there was Christian persecution, natural disaster, stuff like that, right? But not always, but very often.
Yeah.
And when we were there, we were with people that were, they had nothing and they're super poor. And man, but they were the church and they loved God and they loved each other. And man, they had little, but they'd give it all to you. You'd show up. We used to like kind of joke/cry about, I am wearing and carrying in my backpack into the bush, you know, in like Sudan or Burma or something, more physical wealth than they'll ever own in their whole life. Just between my killer hiking boots, my clothes, my camera, you know, a sat phone, all right?
Yeah.
And, but they were the church and it was beautiful how they lived and sacrificed for one another, but they didn't consider it sacrifice and all. But then we come home and it was, you know, great. I mean, our church is great. I don't work there anymore, but it's still a great place. Great people. But it was like, wow, it was way more about pulling off Sunday, right? Huh. And it was quite produced and a lot of stress going into pulling that off. Yep. But not a lot of feeling like the family, you know, not a like feeling like the church.
Sure.
And, yeah, anyway. And so we started asking ourselves, like, well, like, what if we just lived this way all the time? Hmm. You know, like what we did for weeks, you know, on these trips and as team and living like family, kind of having to fight and forgive and get over it all, you know, can we just live that way here at home?
Hmm.
Like missionaries live.
Yeah.
And, you know, do we get to, you know,
good question.
And I ask our listeners, you know, if you've ever been on a short-term mission trip, you know how like it's hard and you didn't like everybody, but I mean, you had to pull together, you had to get past it.
Hmm.
And you saw God do some amazing things. And most people, and having been a missions pastor, I know this really is true. Most people come back from mission trips and they go, you know, we did this and this and this for those folks.
Yep.
But you know what the big win was? What God did in my own heart and life. Hmm. Why don't we just get to live that way here?
Yeah.
Well, we do.
That's the absolutely thing.
And so really what's a missional community is it's a grouping of families of oikoses, that's the Greek word for the church, really, that are saying, hey, you know what? We're going to live out of our identity. You know, so, you know, we just started wondering, like, you know, what if we live this way? Like, what if we start living like missionaries everywhere, believe in our identity? We talked about identity and our birthright back at episode 148, just a few weeks back.
Absolutely.
Right. And so a handful of us, you know, during Tacoma, Washington, we started living like missionaries all the time.
Hmm.
And out of that grew a church, Soma Communities, and that ended up helping plant lots of churches. And anyway, onward. Right.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to talk about today is sort of these seven basic steps or seven moves we call that lead to missional living, but they can't be missed.
Yeah.
You can't sort of put the cart before the horse. And some of these might overlap as we get going, but if you don't have these, you won't get this living like a missionary here, you know, wherever you live currently, be it the States or overseas, UK, you know, EU, wherever in the world. I can't list all the countries. but anyway.
Okay. Yeah, so let's get started with the seven steps. And I think it's important to clarify on the front end that there's a lot of how-to type ways of doing things. And part of this is being sensitive. Even with these seven guideposts we're going to give, there's still this sense of trusting the Spirit. What might work here in the Northwest might not work in, you know,
when East it comes St. to Louis. The specific, but each of these basic steps will work in any context.
Sure.
So great point.
Cool. Let's go.
But like, I'm not going to give examples where you go like, well, your example, I have to do exactly that.
Yeah.
No, maybe. But even in the steps, you'll see they're not example specific or locale specific.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely.
So,
okay. Seven steps. Let's go.
Okay. So, here we go. First one is, no one's gonna be surprised if they're followers of the show, is learn to articulate a much bigger gospel.
Okay.
Okay. We have to see, you won't live on mission and be a good news people, like living out of a missionary identity where people want to join you in that mission. I'm talking about not yet believers and believers. If you're not about good news and if your good news is primarily about your afterlife, well, yeah, but see, people live now.
Sure.
And Jesus came and said, the kingdom is now. It's among you, right? It's here.
Yeah.
And he meant that and intended that we would now, because of his life, death, and resurrection, and a forgiveness and a relationship that's been restored with him and his Father and being indwelt by his Spirit, that life now would be different. It would be in line with the kingdom. Sure. We would now come under his rule and reign, and we'd have the life he always created us to live. So we need to learn how to understand and articulate a much bigger gospel, yeah. one that's really good news for everything.
Yep.
Right? Not just about church or our afterlife or spiritual things.
Sure.
It's all things are spiritual, right? You
know? Yeah.
But, you know, I want to suggest that people want to understand how Jesus and being his follower will affect their marriages, their parenting, yeah. how they spend their money.
All of life.
Yeah. All of life, right? Yeah. Their identity, like we talked about a few weeks ago. Can you tell them that? Now, I'm not saying that that's how you start building relationships, but I'm saying, but if you don't even have a gospel that touches all of life, it was primarily, like I said, a prayer. Yeah. Kind of waiting to go to heaven. In between, I'm just doing sin management. You know, well, you're not going to, that won't lead to a missional life because a missional life is fueled by the gospel.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's all about the gospel. Otherwise, you're just really nice people in your neighborhood.
Sure. Right? And it takes a while to, you know, one of the things we've talked about is the way that Jesus's methodology was he just invited them into life. Like he approached disciples and said, hey, come see how I live.
And it was good news.
It was good news. It wasn't
and
like,
it
hey,
compared
I just.
Compared and contrasted a lot of what they thought. But yeah. it was always good news.
Exactly. Which is, like you said, the bigger gospel. Because a lot of times what we do is we tend to look at, we might not know our neighbor well, and we just found out they lost their job, and our first line of defense against them is, well, let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus, who died for you. It's like, well.
Or come to church. Why yeah, do they hand out
news,
money?
But that's not good news to the situation right now because yeah. I'm struggling with something else. So.
Right. And so, you know, we've often referred to this as growing in our gospel fluency.
Yeah.
And so the first step, and this is a step, you know, that you can get going on now, but it never really ends. But we put it first because growing in our gospel fluency, this ability to sort of understand the gospel and speak it into all of life, is so important, and it's so baseline to everything. So before we get into the other steps and things you'll start to do
yep.
or intentionally do differently, maybe you're already doing them, that is super important. And can you just imagine, if you're listening right now, how different your entire church would be if they all just embrace this first step where they could all learn to articulate a bigger gospel that was really good news to everybody.
Yeah.
So people wanted to get closer to them and this body and this community. Right?
Absolutely.
And if everyone in your church or community were to speak, live, and enjoy a gospel that touched every part of life, how different would that be just alone?
Yeah. It'd be amazing.
And I think that actually is what leads to a missional life.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's why we put it as first step. Okay.
You know, and I think if you're already sitting here listening to this episode and you're like, oh, this sounds crazy. I don't even know where to go from here. We want to reference
enough because
yeah. yeah. So if you need to stop right now and go back and listen to Life School 110, which was how a better understanding of the gospel transforms your life, I'd say it'd almost be worth to stop here right now, go back, listen
or
to that.
Or put it on your homework list.
Yeah. Get to it.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. And then you've got a book out on bigger gospel that's incredible as well.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll, you know, I'm not hard sell here or anything, but we'll go ahead and put some links in the show notes so you can either get that book or you can get the audiobook and start listening to it right away, like in the gym or as an extension of the podcast even. So,
yeah.
Okay.
It's just a massive gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the things I would imagine is that if we're doing this right, we're really never stop growing in the gospel and our gospel fluency, do we? Like, do you think we ever actually move on from this first step? Like,
no,
step to next two.
Yeah, I mean, we like to put things in steps. So we go, these are seven steps, seven moves, right?
You know,
you learn to move. But the truth is I'm not suggesting in the least that our listeners don't know the gospel.
Sure.
But as we've talked about a lot, and like you just referenced, you know, episode 110, it's way bigger than we think.
Yeah.
And part of truly living as a good news bunch of people, as a family that brings good news to the neighborhood and as a group of families that live on mission together as good news and proclaiming Christ. And you're never going to move on from it.
Yeah.
And you can always grow deeper in it. And so that's why we're saying it's the first step. It's really, you're absolutely right, Heath. Mm. It's underlying everything and we'll never really move on from it.
All right. So let's move on to that next step that follows this growing in the gospel. Step two.
Okay. So this is the first sort of thing to do and you're all doing it already, but we're going to bring some greater intentionality to it. And this is why it's next is it's so basic, but it's so important and overlooked is your family dinner times can be so pumped up now with good news and become such a special time for your family. Right.
Yeah.
And so those dinners can be so much more meaningful than maybe they are just food consumption, you know?
Yeah.
And though they serve as an attractive door, so to speak, into community for others.
Hmm.
It really is low hanging fruit that if you're having a family dinner that regularly, that there's always a space at the table for people. And it's like, it's good news and it's rich and it's beautiful. Then, right. That think about it. You don't have to really add anything to your schedule or whatever, but so many people have never intentionalized that. Now it could be any meal of the day. Okay. It really can. But I'm just saying, you know, like pick 1 to 3 nights per week or meals per week that you put on your calendar and everyone in the family knows they're sacred. You don't miss them.
Yep.
And we're going to have family dinner night. Mm-hmm. Call it that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even in our missional communities, once they get started, we always carve out a family dinner night.
Sure.
It's key. And even in our life, Heath, you know, in our growing Oikos and community, we have it once a month right now, but it's going to get to, hopefully it's going to be once a week, you know, and we'll be able to do
far
that
more
together.
Often,
as the rhythms pick up. So, but if a family is not having regular family dinner times, can I just encourage you, please start.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, you know, we're not used to it or we're so busy or my family never did it. Gosh, I've heard that so much.
Hmm.
I've had people sit at our table and say, I've never done this before.
Yeah.
Like, what, had dinner? And they're like, not like this, not as a family and not talking about stuff and having a blast and encouraging one another.
Absolutely.
And boy, I could give you so much, like I could give you so much more training on even how to have a really cool and powerful family dinner. And I'm not talking about turning into a church service. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a blast that is a representation of a much bigger gospel.
Yeah.
Just while you're eating and having a killer time with your kids.
That's a great opportunity too, to let your kids choose the meals for the night. You know, let them each pick a meal a week that they want to eat. Invite them into helping prepping dinner with you.
All that.
There's so many ways to grow community.
I mean, it's just so much, right? Yeah. You know? So let me ask you, what are your family dinners like, Keith? I mean, you got a wild crew.
I do have 4 wild ones.
No, they're great. I mean, they're great, but I mean, they're kids, man, and they're going. And so what do those look like? And what do you think you could do to be more intentional with Kathleen and the kids?
Yeah. So one of the things that we've actually grown in quite a bit lately was just making that intentional. We've set a time that we go, we're thinking ahead through the week. So rather than just, hey, we're going to eat dinner kind of when we get home, we go, this night we're eating at what time? 5:30. And most of the time we eat at 5:30. Thursday nights, I got some school, so I'd be
growing
late.
Up for me, that was it. 5:30, whatever it was. I can't remember now. It's like carved in stone.
Yeah. But we go like, hey, you know, Thursdays I've got school, so it's going to be 6:00. But those are firm times that we don't take off. And it's not like I'm missing a bunch. We eat 7 nights a week together. But it's fun. Typically, it's the boys and I play because I'll get home from work and the boys and I play while Kathleen's prepping dinner. And then we sit down and usually ask kind of about the day. And one of them loves to pray to open things up. But we're always asking questions about
the
day.
Kids look forward to it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Best
Not always the,
day, the
meals
right?
that we're eating. But yeah, they do look forward to it.
Yeah, that's kids.
You know. That's for sure.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Mom made it, you're eating it.
Yeah, but it seems like it is an important, you know, once they establish that rhythm, and then once you, like you said, once you open it up to something bigger than you, we've got some great people, diversity in our community where we've been able to have them over and go like, one of our friends is from Morocco. It's like, hey, why don't you bring a dish from Morocco and tell us about like some of your story and your heritage. And so it's a really neat melting pot.
Wow.
Yeah.
And notice too, you know, if you're listening to this, what Heath's saying, this is all really just healthy, intentionally, you know, intentionalizing family time around a meal that everybody knows and then starting to, you know, invite others to bless, be a part of that blessing.
Yeah.
But it's not this big, like, oh, I got to get my neighbors over so I can leave them a track and make sure they come to church, you know? Now, if that comes up, great. But that's not the goal of your family dinner nights. Should be this safe haven of life where beauty and grace are applied. It's not where you're fixing problems. It's not where you're...
It's where you have fun. You celebrate. Yeah, but I think one of the things that you said is that we lived for a long time with no intentionality. So it was like, it's 5:00. What are we doing for dinner tonight? I don't know. Let's just run and grab something. But now that we've actually planned it out and go like, hey, next Thursday we're having this, it allows us to have so much more structure that we're allowed to have some freedom because we've already
like you mentioned
out.
Earlier, like let the kids pick or something, you know?
Yeah, let them choose
like
the
if
meal.
They pick a week early, the anticipation level for it is just off the chain, right?
And then you can ask them like, why'd you pick this? And why do you like this meal? And
who do you know that would like this? Your friends like that?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing we eat. Yeah, Team K, we eat it all.
Yeah.
So like we eat lots of stuff our friends' kids might not enjoy.
Sure. But. So that's kind of our meal time. Now your kids are out of the house, but you and Tina... We still do it.
Yeah, in fact, I heard Tina organizing the other day an extended family now, both in-laws and aunts and uncles and cousins that have kind of moved into the area.
Yeah.
She's starting to she's throwing the net, man. Family dinner night. Like, okay, let's intentionalize that beyond just the immediate Team K.
Yeah.
In our Oikos. So.
Okay, man. So we got time for one more of those seven steps today.
Okay.
What is it?
Great. So the third one is follow the trajectory here. So you're growing in your gospel. It's getting bigger. You're learning to articulate it. It's not weirding you out. It's not weirding others out. It's good news to your kids, all that, right?
Yep.
And your friends and all. And you're starting to have meals that are just rich. They're simple. They're fun. And they would be such a cool door into your life. That's sure. What we're really doing is we're inviting people into God's life by inviting them into ours when the gospel shapes it. The third of the seven steps or moves would be, hey, pick a place that is, you know, a natural place in your city or neighborhood that's a perfect fit for you to make new friends and build relationships. Because you may not have the folks that you'd even begin to invite into a life,
yeah, right?
Life on life. And a lot of people say, well, I only have them at work.
Sure.
Well, but by work, you know, X amount of ways away. Well, you're not going to do life with those people probably. Yep. And if you're like, well, I know them from church. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Those are friends too. But if you pick a place that's kind of in your city or neighborhood and you frequent that thing,
yeah,
right? Could be a cafe, could be a pub, could be a restaurant or two, whatever. And you're starting to get to know the staff, you're tipping well, they're starting to know you, they want to introduce you to people.
Yep.
During the holidays, maybe you're bringing a little, you know, cookies or whatever. You're going to build relationships with people who also live in that area. Now, if you go to some fast food thing, you know, people just drive through and everything. You're not going to build relationships. So you got to think, be a little intentional about what kind of places in my neighborhood do people kind of hang out a little bit and either eat their meal or hang out and talk or whatever and everything. And if we pick the night of the week, let's say, and we start frequenting that, or maybe it's the gym, you know, but I'm always going to go at the same time and I'm going to take a couple of classes just so I get to know the instructors and get known by the same people because people generally sign up for class and then they hit it.
Yep.
I'm going to just intentionally pick a place, okay? And I'm going to start going there and start to ask good questions, listen, be generous, whatever the situation is, be generous. So like if it's a gym, stick around and help the instructor pick up the mats and spray down the stuff and towels and all, you know, all that stuff, right? If it's at a cafe, buy the person behind you coffee once in a while. Over tip your barista.
Yeah.
Instead of pub, buy around once in a while or something, right? You know, whatever. And be a good listener. Now, remember, not every people group will be a good fit for you. So think age and stage of life when you pick your place. So like, you know, if you're listening to this and you're 70 and you haven't been to the gym in 20 years, you might not want to join a CrossFit box.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're 20, and you don't even drink, you might not want to frequent like a martini bar.
Sure.
That lawyers, you know, own and all their lawyer friends go. It's not going to be an age and stage fit for you. So pick that thing where you go, man, it kind of looks like us and we fit in. And there's more to mission in life than that. But talk about a basic step. Like you're growing in your gospel. You're starting to have meals of intentionality that would be really cool to have people to. And now you're intentionally frequenting a place to build relationships and kind of you're keeping your eye out. And we'll talk about that, you know, next week. Like, so then who do I specifically focus on?
Yeah.
And that'll be, you know, well, we're going to get to that in four more steps coming up here. Okay. So I'm not going to say too much more about that, but you want to pick your place. That's the third step or the third move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And I just want to say, can you imagine if every Christian was confident enough and intentionally frequenting a few places like that, you know, on mission and building new friendships? How powerful would that be?
Be amazing, man. Yeah, I'll share a little
bit. I mean, our cities will be changed.
Yeah, I'll share one of the places I frequent next week as we get into how to pay attention to the people to press into, because I've got a cool story there.
I want
to
hear it.
Okay, so we got through three today. We've got four next week. Do you want to throw out what those four are? Do we want to leave people coming back for more?
I just sort of hinted.
Okay,
that's good. And that's all I'm going to do.
Okay? All right, I like that.
And if they go back and listen to previous episodes or download free stuff, they'll know what they are, but... Ooh, I don't know. Here we are. We're our first two-parter.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, so the references we made today to past episodes were 133, which is starting a missional community from scratch, and then episode 110, which is how a better understanding of the gospel transforms your life. You can listen to those throughout the week.
Try to put those in the show notes too as reminders, related.
Kind of. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's get to the big three. These are the three takeaways we want people leaving with today, and the way you get those is by going to 123lifeschool.com/episode152. Caesar, what would you say the big three are for this week?
Okay, quickly. First one, your family is an amazing place to begin when starting a missional community or wanting to live on mission with others.
Yep.
Instead of like trying to talk a bunch of people into stuff, right? So living as a family worth joining and imitating, that's the goal.
Hmm.
Right. So if you're like, well, we don't really have people over and no one would want to. Well, okay. Begin at the beginning in your own lives.
Yep.
So trying to organize others into a series of activities, churchy things or missional events and rhythms that you and those closest to you aren't already living in, it just produces unnecessary stress and it'll set you up for failure.
Yeah.
So start at home, your family, God-given, to show others what he's like. Start there.
Yep.
With these seven steps, which you've only got through three. Okay. Second, and I want to know, wherever you're at, God loves you right there.
Hmm.
Okay. But our Father did not send his son Jesus just to get us into heaven.
Yeah.
He came that we would have this really full life, an adventure with him of being his disciple and making disciples. And that starts first in the mirror, like I said earlier, and with our own kids and our own church, and then moving outwards to including others.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but God loves you exactly where you're at. That's the good news. You don't have to do this to earn his love or impress him. You can't, in fact. Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus already died. It's finished. Third is, and this is sort of the hands-on number three is usually like what to do is like, yeah, get the training and encouragement you need to get started and stay on mission. It's way too easy to kind of hear, you know, talk like this or hear information like this and give mental assent to things, you know, nodding in agreement. Yep. Got some good intentions here, good ideas, but never really getting started with new and meaningful practices. And so, I mean, it's just crazy that this is like our anniversary episode because I want to help others, you know, you listening today and those in your church. So if you're a leader, great. If not, you know the leaders. If you go to our website at that, you know, address that Heath just gave you, it's 123lifeschool.com episode 152. So it's the show notes for this episode. You're going to find my invitation to actually get on the phone and talk about this with you and your family and how you and your entire family and church can get immediate access to a full online course called Seven Moves to Missional about this.
Great
stuff,
course. Okay? Yeah.
Now I've never done this before where I'm going to give you a link to access directly to my calendar.
Yeah.
Like you're going to know how busy I am, what I'm doing. You know?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then you can click on and select the phone time and we'll talk to each other. And I'm going to help you understand how you could totally do this and afford to do this and get on it. So
yeah,
there again, you have to want to, but I'm sort of anniversary throwing this out here.
Yeah.
We are going to get on it. And I want to help you figure out a way to take your whole church through it.
Okay. I love it. Okay. It's great content. And we'll talk more about that next week. Again, you can get the show notes from this week by going to 123lifeschool.com/episode152. You'll get those right away. If you haven't joined us on our Facebook group, go to Facebook up in the search bar, type in Life School Podcast. Caesar and I will approve you to the group, enter into some conversation there. But
yep.
Again, this phone call and the opportunity to schedule a phone call with you is really
just
cool.
Posted
thing.
A wacky photo of us, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Anniversary photo.
That's right. Join us next week as we continue this conversation with part two of Family Discipleship and Mission Made Simple. It's going
to
be fun.
Sure to jump on with us for that.
Thank you for being with us today. For more information, you can visit 123lifeschool.com/podcast.